Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1. We just want to read the third verse. It came to pass on the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel, according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. The time frame of this verse is stated at the very beginning, the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month. And that refers, of course, to the coming of the children of Israel out of Egypt. As we read on in the verse, we see that it was at this time that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. In other words, he gave them a review course concerning the commandments of God, concerning the law of God. The book of Deuteronomy, the very word, simply means second law, which tells us the theme of the book. It is the repeating of the law of God. It is the repeating of the law of God has given to Moses. And it consists of a series of farewell messages by this time Israel's 120-year-old leader Moses, in which he repeats over and over and over again the laws of God. They were so important. They were so important that they were repeated. The laws of God. There are those today who will say that laws of God are not important. They have no idea what they're talking about. The book of Deuteronomy is God's book about obedience. Obedience must have a standard. There must be a law. And again, the book of Deuteronomy is about obedience. The phrase, thou shalt not, or thou shalt, occurs 230 times in the book of Deuteronomy. The phrase, thou shalt not, occurs 76 times in the book. The phrase, observe to do, 14 times. To do, 35 times. I command, 36 times. The word commandments occur 42 times. And the word keep the commandments occur 6 times. I believe the entire book shows us that it was God's purpose for Israel to know that they were under the government of God. And is that not what the laws of God speak of? It speaks of the government of God. Now we know that the laws which God gave to Israel in the Old Testament consist of three classes. There was ceremonial law, which of course you and I are not under today. All ceremonial law typified Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ fulfilled ceremonial law. There was also civil law, particular laws for the nation of Israel, laws for them as God's people. And then, of course, there are the moral laws of God, which are still in effect today. But as you read through the Old Testament, there are over 2,000 laws in the Old Testament, falling under these three categories: ceremonial, civil, and moral. No matter what category you're looking at, ceremonial, civil, or moral, God's laws were simply rules of conduct. They were rules of conduct. They were God's appointments. They were things that God had determined. They were the sanctions of God. They were His orders. Laws are boundaries. All the laws we have today, they're boundaries. No different with the laws of God. God's laws are boundaries. God's laws are the declaration of what God wants. That ought to interest us. That ought to interest every child of God. What does God want? That ought to be a deep concern of ours. And the laws of God simply declare, this is what I want. This is what I want done under this circumstance. This is what I want done in this situation. These are the laws of God. The grounds and enforcement of the laws of God are stated in the introduction of the Ten Commandments. Notice in the book of Exodus chapter 20 in verse 2. There is a twofold ground, if you will, for the enforcement of God's laws. The first is, I am the Lord thy God. That's enough. Simply because of who God is, we are to obey God's laws. But there's a second ground for you and I, His children, a second ground for Israel here. I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That's the introduction. And then he goes into saying, thou shalt have no other gods before me. What is that based on? That is based on, I am the Lord thy God. And I am the Lord that brought thee out. I am the Lord that redeemed thee. In other words, redemption. Salvation does not cancel the rules of God. Does not cancel God's authority. Notice in Deuteronomy 15. Deuteronomy 15. And verse 15. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman or a slave in the land of Egypt. And the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore, I command this thing today. I redeem thee. Therefore, I am going to tell you what I want done. I am going to tell you what to do. We read in Jude verse 8 of those who despise dominions. It's talking about the last days. It's talking about false teachers. It's talking about scoffers. And they despise dominions. In other words, they think lightly of authority. And in 2 Peter 2 and verse 19, reading of these false teachers, we see that they proclaim liberty
from the law. Liberty from God's rules. Liberty from God's government. I want to tell you that God's rules offend a lot of people. And sad to say, God's rules offend a lot of those who claim to be saved. But you can't read this book, Old Testament or New Testament, without seeing that God has some rules, that God has some laws. This isn't just Old Testament. Notice in John chapter 14, John chapter 14, Jesus speaking to the apostles. In verse 15, he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and verse 3. "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." Not only do we express love by keeping the commandments of God, but we express our love by our attitude and spirit toward the commandments of God. And his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. Now, though you and I, thank the Lord, are no longer under ceremonial law, and though many of the laws of the Old Testament were civil law for Israel only, both the ceremonial and both the civil laws, though they're not for us today, there are truths and there are principles revealed in these laws that are applicable to our lives today. And we want to speak this evening on the teaching and principles of God's laws. And we want to notice 5 main points about the laws of God. We will preface it by saying, though I'm sure it's not necessary, we realize that we are not saved by keeping the laws of God. May I also say the laws of God were never intended to save anybody. They were never intended to save a single soul. God today, God the Holy Spirit, uses the law to convict us of sin, because sin is what? Sin is the transgression of the law. But there are many today who are trying to do away with all the laws of God. And you will not find that teaching anywhere in the scriptures. But that's not our point of the message. What we want to notice tonight is just simply some principles and truths, even the ceremonial and civil laws of God, some principles and truths that apply to us today. First of all, the importance of God's laws, whether it be ceremonial. I realize again we're not under ceremonial law. Whether it be civil or whether it be moral,
the importance of those laws was stressed over and over and over again. The book of Deuteronomy, the repetition of the law. The fact that the book of Deuteronomy was even written expresses the importance of the law. Now notice in the book of Exodus chapter 18, the book of Exodus chapter 18, and verse 16. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know. He didn't just make a judgment, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. Felt the responsibility to make the people know the statutes of God. The people were to store the laws of God in their hearts. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In verse 6, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. My commandments shall be in your heart. They were to teach their children the laws of God. What are the laws of God? The laws of God are simply what God wants. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It sounds to me that God's laws were important. And they were to teach them diligently to their children. And they were to talk about them at all parts of the day. Again, what God wants. They were to have them always before them. In verses 8 and 9, we see thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and thy gates. So we see that they would always have the law of God before them. Is there anything wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with teaching your children what God wants? Is there anything wrong with keeping before you at all times, this is what God wants? Of course, there's nothing wrong with that. And you have to question the salvation of anyone who finds something wrong with teaching what God wants. And how God wants it done. Because that ought to greatly concern us. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31, we see that at the Feast of Tabernacles, in the sabbatical year, the law was read. He just simply stood up and read the law of God. And you know what happened? When they simply just read the law of God, people were convicted in their hearts. But notice verse 11, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything, I'm talking about infants here, their children which have not known anything may hear, and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. The law was so important they were to read it in the hearing of all. You get to Malachi chapter 4 and verse 4, and we see that they were to remember. They were to remember the law of God. So the first thing we're taught by the laws of God is that it was important. It was important. Secondly, the laws of God, again, whether they be ceremonial, civil, or moral, taught some important truths about God. Truths that I'm afraid that the majority of our society has long forgotten. Some of the truths that are declared about God is the laws that God gave to Israel proclaimed God's authority. Every law that God gave, every commandment that He issued, every prohibition that He gave, again, whether ceremonial, civil, or moral, doesn't matter. They all declared the absolute authority of God. And that's what despisers of dominion cannot stand. The authority of God. The authority of God speaks of His jurisdiction. Is there anywhere that God does not have jurisdiction? There's nowhere. God has jurisdiction everywhere. He has jurisdiction in every aspect of your life. Don't ever think, it doesn't matter. It does matter. God's laws declare that it matters. His authority speaks of His dominance. Is there anywhere that God is not to have dominance? It speaks of His rule. Why would someone who has been saved by the grace of God not want to be under the jurisdiction of God? Why would you not want to be under the rule of God? Why would you not want to know? What does God want? What does the one want who saved my soul? I mean, why wouldn't you want to know that if you've been saved? God's authority is basically His right to command whatever He pleases. We live in a day when everybody wants to declare their rights. I have a right to do this. I have a right to do that. But what about God's rights? And may I say, He has all rights. First of all, if you're hearing lost, He has all rights because of who He is. But secondly, if you're saved, He has all rights for two reasons. Because of who He is, and because He saved your soul. So the laws that God proclaimed to Israel were a proclamation of God's authority. The laws that God gave to Israel proclaimed the government of God. What is the government of God? It's simply the rule and sway of God. And we ought to want to be under the government of God. You tell me what's wrong with being under the rule and sway of God. Why would a child of God have difficulty being under the rule and sway of the one who saved them? All you Baptists, all you do is believe in rules, 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 rules. And if you had any love in your heart at all for the Lord, you'd want to be under His rules. You'd want to be under his sway. The laws that God gave to Israel proclaimed that he had a claim upon them. All people can't stand that. But it's quite troubling when someone professes to be saved and they can't tolerate the fact that God has a claim upon them. In other words, it's his due. He has a right to demand whatever he pleases, and it's his due for you to obey. It's true of all of us. The law is also proclaimed concerning God that God has standards. The world would like to think that God has no standards. Many who profess to be saved would like to think that God has no standards. But you read the laws of God. Again, I realize we're not under ceremonial law, but read the ceremonial law. And what does it declare? It declares that God is precise. You read the civil law. And though many of those laws, though the principles of those laws are very good if we would follow them. But you read those laws. And again, it tells us that God is very precise. God is very definite. You read the moral law. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I mean, it's pretty precise. It's pretty definite. But as you read these laws, specifically, the ceremonial laws, you see very definite specifics are laid down. When it came to the burnt offering, when it came to the meat offering and the peace offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering, very definite specifics were laid down. And God is telling them, this is how I want it done. And he was very precise. When it came to the priest who ministered at the altar of God, God was very precise in his laws. Concerning the feast days and the daily offerings and the Sabbath offerings and the yearly offerings, very precise. You know what this declares? It proclaims that it does matter to God how you do things. And I don't care what it is. It matters to God. Yet you hear people say all the time, even in church government, well, it really doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it matters. And it always matters. And God has something to say about it. And that ought to concern us. But in a day when our society and our culture is engulfed in moral relativism, which basically says there is no absolute truth, and since there is no absolute truth, there is no authority, and there is no standard. And since there is no truth, since there is no authority, since there is no standard, it is completely left up to you to decide what is right and what is wrong. In other words, there are no guidelines except those which you choose for yourselves. That's anarchy. That's a mess. The laws of God, however, say differently. The laws of God says there is a standard, and there are guidelines. Thirdly, God's laws proclaim some truths about you and I. About some truths of man. Every law, every command, every prohibition, was a reminder. You are responsible. Every time God issued a command, it is a reminder. We are responsible to God. Every time God issued a command, there was a reminder that they are duty bound to obey that command. Every law, every command, every prohibition declared that they were accountable. That is, that they would give an account. The laws of God declare that there is someone you are going to answer to. People can't stand these things. But it also declares, if there are laws, I don't care if it's man-made laws or God's laws. If there are laws, it is immediately implied that there are consequences for breaking those laws. So, every time God gave a law, it announced that they were accountable, that they would have to give an answer, and that there were consequences. But the laws of God also proclaim man's need. Because of man's depravity, because of man's sinful inclinations, and because of his proneness to wander, man needs boundaries. He needs boundaries for his own good. So God gave laws. That being said, it would seem to me that the laws of God were given in mercy, because we need these boundaries. And we still do. We still, every one of us, still need boundaries. And there is no better boundary than the ones that God has set. If people would just follow the Ten Commandments, you wouldn't need any other laws. And that's a summary of all laws. Society would be glorious if folks would just follow the Ten Commandments. These are boundaries. Why does God say, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me"? Because God knows it's our proneness to have other gods before him. So he sets a boundary. Why does God say, "Thou shalt not kill"? Because he knows us. Why does God say, "Thou shalt not commit adultery"? Because he knows us. He knows exactly what we would do. So again, he sets these boundaries. Then notice fourthly, the consequences of breaking God's laws proclaim the seriousness of the law. Again, doesn't matter. You can look at ceremonial law, civil law, or moral law. I think of Ahab and Abihu. God struck them dead. That proclaims the seriousness of what God said. And all through the Bible, we see the punishments that were inflicted for disobedience to God's laws. People were stoned to death for blasphemy. You know what that says? You know the principle that is laid down there? The principle is, it is a serious thing to blaspheme God. I mean, you can get stoned for that. That's pretty serious. But it also is declaring that it is a sin worthy of death, as all sin is. People were stoned for breaking the Sabbath. Sabbath's broken every Sabbath day. But in the Old Testament, people were stoned for it. And that just shows again the seriousness. People were stoned for bowing down to idols. People were stoned for, in other words, following false religion. They were stoned for that. That's a serious thing. People were stoned for adultery. They were stoned for fornication. People were stoned for showing disrespect to their parents. They were taken out and killed. That shows how serious the law of God is. So the next time you think, well, it really doesn't matter, tell that to the young man who was stoned for smarting off to mom and dad. Tell him that and see if he believes it. Oh, it matters. Tell that to Ahab and Abidu. Well, it really doesn't matter as long as you're sincere. Oh, it matters. God's laws matter. So this teaches us the seriousness of the laws of God. So in a society and in a culture that says there is no absolute truth, there is no standard, there is no authority, there are no rules, there is no judge, there is no responsibility, there is no accountability, every single one of God's laws say that's not so. Every single one of God's laws says differently. Fifthly and lastly, think of the variety of God's laws. The variety of God's laws proclaim, even those that we are no longer under, the variety of God's laws proclaim that they are for every aspect of our lives. That every aspect of our lives, that everything we do, comes under the government of God. There were laws regarding every single aspect of worship. And yet today we have a multitude of people who say, you worship God however you please, and God is pleased with all worship. But I'm sorry, every law in the Bible about worship says something different. It matters. How you worship the Lord. There were laws regarding every aspect of family life. There were laws regarding marriage. There were laws regarding divorce. There were laws regarding parenting children. There were laws regarding children. There were laws regarding relationships between husbands and wives. There were laws regarding labor, concerning employers and employees. There were laws about money. There were laws regarding property. There were laws about if you didn't control your ox. There were laws about property and trust. And there were laws about inheritances. And there were laws about landmarks. And there were even laws about fruit-bearing trees. My whole point is, in every aspect of life, there were laws. Now notice in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22. Deuteronomy 22. Notice some of these laws. I'm not saying that these laws apply for today, but there's a principle being taught here. In verse 8, when thou buildest a new house, then shalt thou make a battlement or a railing for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence. When you built a house, God had something to say about it. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 9. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Now I believe he was teaching them there that they were a separated people. That was one of the lessons. But my point tonight is there were laws even regarding farming. There were laws regarding gardening. There were laws regarding farming. In verse 10, thou shalt not plow with an axe and an ass together. There were laws regarding clothing. Verse 11 says, thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. There were laws regarding restitution. There were laws regarding business. There were to be no interest on loans to God's people. In no case was there to be a bribe, and there was to be no oppression. There were laws regarding animals. There were laws regarding our neighbors. There were laws regarding war, injustice. There were laws regarding health. There were the dietary laws. There were numerous laws regarding clean and unclean in the book of Leviticus chapter 11. My point is this. These laws covered every aspect of our lives. Don't you dare say, it doesn't matter what I wear. It does matter. God made laws. It doesn't matter what I eat. It does matter. God made laws. And God is simply saying, in every aspect of your life, you are to recognize God's authority. And in every aspect of your life, God has authority. God can't tell me what to wear. God can't tell me what to eat. Yes, He can. And He has the right to. He has authority in every aspect. That means every aspect of our life comes under the government of God. In every aspect of our life, God has claims. And for our own protection, because of our depravity and because of our stupidity, God has set boundaries for us in every aspect of our lives. And were it not for those boundaries, we would ruin our lives over and over. In every aspect of your life. Again, in the Old Testament, if you're going to plant a garden, God would say, this is how I want it done. Didn't matter what you did, God had already said something. And God says, this is what I want. And my point is this, in every aspect of our life tonight, that ought to be our concern. What does God want? It's not what do I want to do. What does God want? Because it matters. And God has something to say about everything. He really does. And it matters. But the attitude today is, well, it doesn't really matter. It matters. Don't tell me it doesn't matter whether you do something right or wrong. It matters. But all the variety of God's laws tell us that God's jurisdiction goes into every aspect of our life. And some right now are probably thinking, that's horrible. That's horrible. That makes me a slave. And I want my freedom. God saved your soul. And you ought to want to do what pleases Him. And that's what this is all about. The laws of God is simply the declaration of what God wants.
And every husband here, every wife here, every child here, that ought to be your concern. What does God want? What does God want? What does God want in every aspect of my life? So in everything, it matters. And the laws of God declare that. And we ought to concern ourselves tonight and with every day of our lives. What does God want? Again, we realize this is not to save our soul. There was a day, there was a time, before I was saved, I did not care what God wanted. It did not matter to me one iota what God wanted. The only thing that mattered to me is what I wanted to do. When the Lord saved me, He changed me. And I believe that's so of everyone whom God has saved. And now we do want to know, what does God want? What does God want me to do? And the more carefully we follow what God wants, the happier we will be, the better off we will be. You know why? There are many reasons, but the dysfunctional family today is the norm, because everybody's doing it their way. Do it God's way. It works. It works. Why are so many churches a mess? Because they refuse to do it God's way. I'm telling you, God's way works. You don't have to sit back and try to figure out how it's going to work. God's way works. So just simply make all our lives more pleasant, more simple, if we would just learn to do it God's way. And this is what the laws of God declare. God has a way that He wants things done. And you and I that are saved, that ought to concern us. What does God want? Brother Larry, if you'd come.